Welcome to Locked On Cardinals, Alex Clancy, and yes, Bo Brock joining me today. We're going to kind of get back to what we used to do, where we're going to do the podcast together, which is what it was meant to how it was meant to happen initially. And Bo, I'm excited for this. Pulling the curtain back a little bit, it makes it a little easier than talking 30 minutes by yourself when there's really nothing going on in day-to-day. Obviously, when training camp ramps up soon and when games start to happen, if everything goes to plan, it'll be easier. But it'll be nice to bounce stuff off with you and instead of just speaking all correctly into a microphone by myself, you know?
And I think just for the listener, actually, like rational thinking coming to Tuesdays and Thursdays back on this podcast is just, I mean, I think it's a win-win.
Oh, that's fine. DeAndre Hopkins had his introductory press conference via Zoom yesterday, and there are more layers to this than people are reading into as of right now. That's your Locked On Cardinals lead story. I'm Alex Clancy with Bo Brock. DeAndre Hopkins, we know as being a top 1A receiver in my eyes. So acquiring him from Houston that the Cardinals did in place of David Johnson and a second round pick not only will help, obviously, the offensive prowess of this team, but you look at this man off the field. You look at him with the stuff that went on with his mom, the awful trauma that he had to endure through his mom. And if you don't know about that, we'll talk about that a different day. Pretty much, his mom had bleach thrown into her eyes from another woman, and there was, you know, an extramarital affair involved. But regardless, DeAndre Hopkins, the man, is the exact heir apparent to Larry Fitzgerald that everybody has been yearning for and looking for. And the fact that he dropped into the Cardinals' lap in a time where their future is at stake with every little move that Steve Keim makes, it's really such a bigger story than people are reading into just when people are just looking at what he does on the field.
Yeah, it's so under the radar, especially when you look at what the Cardinals gave up or lack thereof. It could be one of the more lopsided trades in NFL history. I mean, consider that what Jamal Adams just went for from the Jets and what a guy like Stephon Diggs fetched for the Buffalo Bills to get him away from the Minnesota Vikings. And then the caliber of player, like DeAndre Hopkins, when you look at, and I know that he doesn't play the same position as Jamal Adams, but DeAndre Hopkins has already done it. He's a three-time All-Pro. He's ridiculous as far as, I was just looking at DeAndre Hopkins as far as contested catches in the NFL, and he's in the top three, and he's with, you know, the usual suspects in that category. He's at the top of every major statistical category for wide receivers, and then the adversity he faced off the field, the type of person he is off the field, that goes into it. We've seen that firsthand from Larry Fitzgerald, and the fact that Nook is coming to the desert and he's going to be a part of this thing now and for the next couple seasons, it's got to be, it's still understated how excited I think fans and media members should be about DeAndre Hopkins being a part of this.
Yeah, the Cardinals are an organization who can't have nice things. You know,
right.
That's what it's been. It's what, until it isn't. And I've brought up a lot in my podcast, Steve Ballmer is a great example, not directly correlative with why he took over and anything to do with racism or anything like that, but he took over a franchise that the majority of the time of their existence were a failing franchise. They had their quote-unquote Bruce Arians years with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan, but they never got to the mountaintop. And then obviously Donald Sterling was forced to sell his team, rightfully so. Steve Ballmer comes in, he changes the logo, he changes the color scheme in some respects, and he's like, you know what, we're going to be a different team. And drafting Kyler Murray and hiring Cliff Kingsbury may be Steve Keim's way of Steve Ballmering the situation, even though both of those moves were obviously made as a last Hail Mary attempt in an effort to keep his job. But it seems to have worked out, and once one thing happens like that, then the rest becomes easier and easier. And the fact that Isaiah Simmons dropped, all of these things are adding into a complete image shift with the Arizona Cardinals. So having DeAndre Hopkins as one of those main cogs from now and hopefully until the end of his career, the timing of it was just so immaculate. It was a perfect positive storm to happen, and it's only going to get better from here, it seems like.
Yeah, and there's that phrase, what, the cliche, better lucky than good. And sometimes they just absolutely lucked into this DeAndre Hopkins deal. Obviously, there had to be a team on the other side of it to take the Houston Texans' horrible decision of trading DeAndre Hopkins and for not a whole lot. But they needed for Kyler Murray to take the next step looking at the wide receiver core, and despite, you know, Larry Fitzgerald continuing to play at a good level at his age is great, right? But there is a ceiling to what his productivity could be. Christian Kirk still not being able to stay on the field as much as you'd like, and how he went up against top corners, and then this first-year wide receivers that are now second years this year, and what we didn't see from guys like Andy Isabella, Hakeem Butler, and Keyshawn Johnson. It was necessary to go get a guy like DeAndre Hopkins. They had to make a move, and to bring in a player his caliber, it's just, I mean, they are in a great spot, and they might have lucked into it. It might have been, you know, all part of the plan, but regardless, we're sitting here. We're on the precipice of something special happening and being able, as you mentioned, kind of changing that narrative, the kind of that Ballmer like era that began in L.A., they could certainly change a lot of people's perception of what the Arizona Cardinals are.
Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, back together again, Locked On Cardinals on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. Coming up next segment, Bo and I are going to have our first real discussion about something that we don't agree on, and it has everything to do with the running back room of the Arizona Cardinals. That's coming up next. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, et cetera, I'm not a car guy, so rockauto.com is exactly what I need if I need any car parts. It's impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. So go to rockauto.com. It's a family business servicing auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. I knew about three of those words, but I know that they have them. And when I need them, I'm going to go to rockauto.com. So whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Welcome back, Locked On Cardinals. Clancy and Brock at Clancy's Corner, at Bob Brack on Twitter, at Locked On AZ Cards. We talked DeAndre Hopkins. We're going to continue. If we ever need positivity before the season starts, DeAndre Hopkins is a perfect start and stop entity. That's all you need to talk about. DeAndre Hopkins, if you are low on him because maybe he's a little bit slower than your favorite wide receiver, look at Odell Beckham Jr. and how fast he is and how many one-handed catches he makes. Who would you trust on a 3rd and 12 when you need a first down to continue the game? If the answer is not DeAndre Hopkins, I will have whatever you're smoking. I mean, Bo, DeAndre Hopkins isn't fast. He's not speedy by any stretch of the imagination. But what DeAndre Hopkins can do is toe touch with the best of them on the sidelines or in the end zone. He catches legitimately everything that's thrown his way. His catch radius is insane. And he's been my favorite receiver for a while, unless, you know, when Jordy Nelson was playing, obviously he was my number one. Jordy, I'll love you forever. But I would take DeAndre Hopkins over Michael Thomas right now. I just think Michael Thomas is so ingrained in that system, and this obviously isn't a Locked On Saints podcast. Am I crazy in that regard, or do you think that DeAndre Hopkins is number one in the league?
I mean, it's tough to say.
It's
after
close.
Michael Thomas just put up 140 catches in a season, and some of those were from Teddy Bridgewater. But no, I mean, I get what you're saying as far as the system, and Nook has even said that himself. He said, look, if I was playing in Michael Thomas's or Julio Jones' system with those quarterbacks, my numbers would be better than yours. And I don't see there wasn't a whole lot of those, you know, Thomas or Jones disagreeing with those sentiments. So, look, I think he's easily top three consensus wide receiver, no doubt about it. And given the opportunity to put him on your team, you absolutely take it. So, and then to hear him speak about Kyler Murray and his ability to throw the football has got to get you giddy.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, I was just going to kind of wax poetic about it, you know, in his media availability, saying how strong his arm is. I don't know. Was he throwing shade yesterday? Did you see that more of him kind of boosting up Kyler or kind of taking a shot at Houston? I couldn't tell.
I couldn't tell either. I know exactly what you're talking about. Because it was like a wait. It could go one way or the other, but I don't know. Listen, he can cachet whatever he wants. It doesn't seem like his MO. I mean, one of the best things that he did was how he handled the Bill O'Brien situation, the leak coming out. The Bill O'Brien compared him to Aaron Hernandez in one of their one-on-one meetings. He just like, it's in the past, let's go. Like, it was, he could have handled it in many different ways, especially with how outspoken players are, athletes are on social media nowadays. He seems like just a down-to-earth dude who loves his mom, who is going to give her every touchdown ball that he catches, and it's going to be a fun, hopefully, 5, 6, 7, 8 years for him ending his career as an Arizona Cardinal. Let's shift to the running back room. Bo and I disagree with about this. I think it's weak. It's weaker than people think it is. So let me explain before Bo gives his thoughts. Kenyon Drake, great tagging, you know, $8 million. It's great for the team. It's great for Kenyon Drake. He gets paid. They needed to bring in a number one back, quote unquote, because they don't trust Chase Edmonds to take over that role. And that's pretty obvious. When David Johnson wasn't performing, they didn't give Chase Edmonds a chance. Aside from the one game in New York where he had 3 touchdowns, I think it was New York, and that was it. He's had 2 or 3 huge games in his career, and he's never really been given the chance to sustain that success. So when they trade for Kenyon Drake, cool. He played very well, over 800 all-purpose yards in 8 games, and Chase Edmonds is the backup, and Eno Benjamin, you know, it's a dart throw with a 7th-round pick. A lot of people think that he could have been a 4th or 5th rounder. The fact that the Cardinals got him in the 7th round was a gift. But I think they need to bring in one more small piece just to have a veteran presence where if they're up 10 points with 6 minutes left in the 4th, you can give it to a guy 5 or 7 times just to keep the clock ticking and keep the Cardinals having possession with the ball, a la LeGarrette Blount, that, you know, had so many huge carries for New England in their championship runs.
Yeah, I just don't think that their offense sets up like that. Obviously, it's in a weird way, the pass sets up the run, so where there's just not a whole lot of guys in the box, and having these shiftier backs is more conducive to that style. They when they did set it up to run the football and they came out in 2 tight end sets, it just wasn't as successful. I mean, they set last year a franchise mark for yards per carry at over 5 yards a clip. And a lot had to do with Kenyon Drake and, of course, Kyler Murray running the football over 500 yards himself. And that's going to be a big key to running the football success in 2020 as well. I just don't see right now. I prefer to stay young at the position with a guy, kind of a change of pace back in Chase Edmonds behind Kenyon Drake. And then, yeah, kind of taking that flyer on the local product at Arizona State, Eno Benjamin. You saw him, that he was successful at the college level, but as far as his size, as far as his speed, it's not where your traditional successful backs, that doesn't necessarily translate at the NFL level. Could it happen? It's a fun storyline to follow. Maybe. Could he be the guy? If he's not, then yeah. I mean, the running back position is one of those that, in the season, you can go out and you could still find guys that can tote the rock on this trash heap that is the waiver wire. I think right now you move forward. I trust that Kenyon Drake can have the same type of success that he had at the end of the last season. And I'm pretty content with the running back position right now.
Yeah, it's fine. And I get that if they don't, it's not, you know, it's not an end all be all, but the Cardinals and a lot of other teams just look at a situation, be like, oh, we're good, let's move on. I equate it loosely to Bruce Arians being cool with the receiving core of J.J. Nelson, Jerron Brown, and John Brown a few years ago. And I know that John Brown was out for a lot of time with the sickle cell trait, and it didn't really pan out, but they punted on their wide receiver core. In 2018, they did the same thing. They didn't bring anybody in. Like, Greg Little was the big get in 2018 that didn't even make the opening week squad. It's like, what's the worst that could happen? And I'm not saying Devonta Freeman. I'm not saying him whatsoever. His name is not uttered. It come out of my mouth. Too expensive, whatever. If he wants to come in for 1 year and $2 million, or 1 year and $3 million, you would take anybody at this point, in my opinion, that could help this team. And what's the worst that could happen? You bring him in, you make an incentive-laden contract, and then if it doesn't work, you cut him. But I think it different from doing it, you know, midway through the season, if you can get as close to a full offseason as people are equipped with this year, with the new offense and its intricacies, it would benefit in the long run. And I don't think it could hurt. I mean, and yeah, you're right. It's a trash heap for a lot of it. I mean, there's guys like, you know, Chris Thompson and Theo Riddick that aren't going to be beneficial, even though, you know, with the offense, it seems like they would be, but they are deep in that respect with those kinds of running backs. I'm talking about a guy that can just get the ball and run the ball 10 or 15 times if need be up the gut, like guy like Buck Allen or Lamar Miller, who's going to probably be more expensive, or even a guy like Spencer Ware. And I know that that's a name that the Cardinals brought him in last year, but they brought him in week 7 or week 8, right before they traded for Kenyon Drake, or around that time, I think. Spencer Ware was a huge dual threat back. If he didn't get injured, who knows what the running back situation would be like in Kansas City. So, I mean, there are names, is all I'm saying. They should, and I hate this cliche, Bo loves it, kick the tires on some guys that have had experience with heavy volume of carrying, and I know that it's not the offense that Cliff Kingsbury runs, but you need to have a package for when you're up 10 points with 7 minutes left and not hucking the ball down the field.
Yeah, but there is opportunities. I mean, just look at San Francisco, look at Kansas City and how they approach the running back position. Look who started at running back for both of those teams. They were undrafted guys that they were able to just bring in throughout the course of a season and then work into their system. I'm not too concerned. I doubt that Arizona Cardinals fans are going to sit with hindsight being 2020 in January and say, man, I wish that the Cardinals went out and got Spencer Ware when he was available, or a type of back like
that. Yeah, and I see both sides. I mean, I do. We are so close, media members of the Arizona Cardinals, to having something exciting to talk about, that you have to pick up every rock and see if there's anything that can make this team better. Because, Bo, when it comes down to it, they've made one offensive move this offseason, and it was a big one, but they haven't done anything else. They haven't signed anybody else on the offense that's not through the draft, aside from acquiring DeAndre Hopkins. That's it. And I think that being lackadaisical in that regard, it may bite them in the keister.
I mean, they re-signed DJ Humphreys. They brought in Calvin Beecham. They re-signed Justin Murray. They re-signed Marcus Gilbert. It was, for the most part, the status quo across the offensive line, but they added depth. I think that was important. We talked about yesterday, I think, if you haven't listened to that podcast, about the tight end position and how you and I believe that there's a lot to be... that's a position I would focus on trying to, you know, supplement, or maybe even add a playmaker. We mentioned David Njoku. If you had an opportunity to go out and get a guy like that, do it. But I don't know. I think we're just on different sides here. I really feel like I feel content. You go with the fresh, young legs at that position until they tell you that they can't compete at the NFL level.
It's Alex Clancy and Bo Brock, Locked On Cardinals, at Locked On AZ Cards on Twitter. On the other side, is there a specific way that the Arizona Cardinals could keep their starters even safer during this COVID-19 pandemic? Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, will talk about it next. Final segment, Locked On Cardinals. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock, at Bob Brack, at Clancy's Corner. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you to everybody who listens. I try to say it at least once a week. Bo and I appreciate it. Once in a while, Bo and I, one of us will text each other and be like, man, like when somebody reaches out to us on Twitter or whatnot, it's like, it's not just numbers. Like, we see our download numbers and we see, and they're fine, you know, but it's like, we have to once in a while just pinch ourselves and remind ourselves how awesome this is. Like, Bo's living in Washington State now. I'm in Phoenix. We figured out a way to make this work through, you know, gadgetry and soundboards and everything to make it to where we can do it from our respective stations. And it's nice to just sit back once in a while and realize, man, we get to talk about the Cardinals and people love listening to us and they continue to do it on a daily basis. So we really appreciate everybody who listens. And Bo, I'm assuming, shares the same sentiment.
Yeah, I mean, they really love Monday, Wednesday, Friday on this podcast.
You are a phallic symbol. All right, so the
wow.
The,
all right.
I can't say the D word, I don't think. So
yeah.
Let's move on. So the Arizona Cardinals, Jody Ehler, who's the host of the show that I produce on Fox Sports 910 Phoenix, he had an interesting just question today that we talked about a little bit. obviously the starters are the most important players of any team. And unfortunately, there's going to have to be tough decisions made with COVID-19 and quarantining and everything. If the NFL is going to work, there's going to have to be weird situations put in place. So he posed the question, and I want to pose it to Bo. Do you think that the Cardinals should put the starters, the top 22, or say, you know, top 30 guys in a specific training camp bubble aside away from all of the depth guys and the guys trying to make the squad? Do you think that that would be something that would benefit the Cardinals if a season were to inevitably happen?
So you would put the guys, the starters, in an NBA-type bubble where they're just going to see each other, correct?
Yes, it would just be, well, it would be them, and they would be practicing at the practice facility here in Tempe, and then you'd have everybody else practicing in a different facility.
I mean, I think it doesn't make any sense if you lose sight of those players after they leave the facility, because then that kind of defeats any of the purpose. I mean, sure, they're not going to get sick from one of their backups, but there's still the possibility of just going out to the outside world and getting sick. Is that what,
yeah,
am I getting it right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's just more of a, do you keep closer watch?
Or do you stagger them? Do you put, you know, some of your starters in one bubble and some of your in another bubble? Or I don't know. I don't think that anybody has the correct take on this as far as the best way to move forward. I mean, I think the NBA's done it right. Out of all the pro sports, I mean, we haven't heard of it a positive test in the NBA for a long time. The worst thing we've heard so far is a guy going to a strip club to get some dinner. But, I mean, I don't know. I think that is with the NFL and the Arizona Cardinals are going to deal with the same type of problems that the MLB is dealing with right now, to where they're still putting themselves, I guess, in harm's way by just being in the outside world. It's not, nothing's really going to come out of the facility there in Tempe or at State Farm Stadium. I don't know. I get when Cliff Kingsbury was talking about, hey, maybe we should keep Kyler Murray and Brett Hundley separate from each other, just in case one's positive and the other doesn't become positive. I get that. Yeah, I mean, if you can get creative and find some way to be, you know, precautious, do it. But I don't know. I don't know if you're necessarily helping out the cause by just going, all right, here's our 22 starters. They're going to be here. And then here are all our backups. Here are guys trying to make the team. They're going to be there. I don't think that necessarily helps you at all. I get it, but I don't think that that's going to help you when we're trying to take on this virus that you can't really predict what's going to happen.
Yeah, can you believe I did the numbers and loosely, like, so say just starting lineups, starting game day rosters, compared to the NBA starting rosters, 300 players for the NBA, 1,696 players in the NFL. And that's just the 53. That's not coaches. That's not trainers. That's not practice squad. That's not referees, you know, sound guys, anybody else that would be on the field at any given time. That's so many people to try and, I don't know, corral to be able to have any sort of season. That's the thing that scares me. When people talk about an NFL bubble, it's legitimately impossible.
Yeah, I mean, to be able to find... A facility to accommodate. I mean, you'd have to be playing more than just, you know, your Monday night, Sundays, obviously, and Thursday nights. You'd have to stagger the games, and then how do you schedule? It logistically, it's a nightmare.
Yeah, and I mean, I mean, you can't play more than one game on a field for a few days. I mean, it's not like right. A basketball court or a hockey rink.
Yeah, you can't go back to back. You can barely do back to back. The type of wear and tear that a field surface takes on a Sunday. You couldn't just say, hey, here are the Cardinals taking on the Niners, and then next we're going to see the Seahawks take on, you know, the Dallas Cowboys, because then somebody tears their ACL and they're going to say, well, that's because the field conditions were terrible, and you've got a whole different problem. So, yeah, the NFL, as you mentioned, just because of its size and the inability to kind of put a bunch of playing fields in one area. I don't think Disney's Wide World of Sports has multiple football. Do they have multiple football fields?
I have no idea. It's so far out of the realm of possibility that I've just divorced myself from thinking that it was actually going to happen. I don't know. We'll keep our finger to the pulse of all of that. Thank you for listening. Alex Clancy, Bo Brock. We will both be back with you tomorrow.